Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m. We have our guest, Malia Wenzel, here. She's going to talk about resources in our community to deal with trauma. Call in anytime during this program to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. So, Malia, thank you for coming into the studio today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So go ahead and tell us, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. You're from Wrangell.
Yeah, so I was born, I was born down south, but I was raised in Wrangell for most of my life. And right now I'm going to college in New Hampshire, but I'm here for my break since I took summer classes and I'm doing brave work while I'm here. And the work I do involves family resilience and domestic violence prevention. And it's pretty up my alley because I study psychology with a focus in childhood trauma. So,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned Brave. So that's a group here in town. Tell me a little bit about Brave.
Yeah, so Brave stands for Building Respect and Valuing Everyone. And it was started by Kay Larson a little over a year ago because she noticed that we didn't really have a lot of services for people who are in domestic violence situations. A lot of times their only option is to go over to Ketchikan to Wish or, you know, rely on family members or community members, which can always be a little scary. And so we decided to get together to do things to prevent domestic violence and to also provide services to families in Wrangell, both services that already exist, you know, connecting people with services that already exist and providing new services. So like right now we have our newest work we've got going on is we have an advocate from Ketchikan, a safety and family advocate coming in from Ketchikan, and she does everything from like helping make safety plans to domestic violence prevention to helping you figure out like how to file a restraining order or anything like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that is that's a great resource that's going to be coming in from outside of Wrangell. And like you said, there's resources here that Brave is helping people get connected to. And so I do want us to talk about some events that are coming up. But maybe let's just go ahead and talk a little bit about some like key words. So finally, we're talking about trauma-informed care and this, you know, this awesome concept that's going to help us take care of our kids in our schools. It helps us take care of our friends. Tell me a little bit, what do we mean by trauma-informed care?
Yeah, so trauma-informed care, I think it's pretty neat, and it has four major parts, and that is knowing what trauma is, knowing how common it is and how prevalent it is, knowing what it does to the brain and the body, and knowing how you can interact with people to kind of lessen the bad effects of it. And so this is really important if you're working with the public, with at-risk populations, or with kids. And the first part, you know, understanding what trauma is. Trauma, in this context, is anything that causes your brain to produce stress hormones for either too long an amount of time or in excess. And so your brain is meant to produce a certain amount of stress hormones. That's how we work as humans, you know, it's how we survive. But when it produces too much, it actually really messes up your brain. It can cause damage. It can cause you to develop abnormally. It can actually stunt growth if you're, you know, if you're still in the age where you're growing. And so we do have to realize that trauma can completely affect someone's behavior and their capabilities and even their physical well-being. And then realizing how prevalent trauma is, you know, since trauma is anything that does that, it can be everything from abuse and neglect to having a parent who goes to prison or having a family member, a close family member, pass away suddenly. Being around domestic violence, even if you're not the, you know, victim of it, even just seeing it and being around it for large amounts of time, anything that causes you to just have like a, you know, either one big event that really shakes you or having to live in an incredibly stressful environment for a large amount of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So realizing that it can be any of those things, we have to take into account that, like, when you're interacting with people, pretty much anyone you interact with can have that type of trauma. And you can't just assume that, oh, it's not them. I know them. They haven't gone through something like this, because a lot of people have gone through things like that. Children, adults, you know, all kinds of people. And we have to realize that our interactions, you know, we're going to be interacting with people like that. It's not an exception to the rule. It just is there.
Absolutely. There's no reason to assume what somebody is going through or has went through. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that, you know, obviously it's, you know, obviously it's a shame that people have to go through trauma, but it's that people have to, they have to relive it. They have, it can affect their, just how they behave in all sorts of ways. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about what we mean by resilience. You know, we know that, like you said, you know, as humans, we are meant to cope with a certain amount of stress, but at a certain point, it's like it weighs on our resilience. What do we mean by that word?
And so in this, you know, resilience is just the ability to cope with stress and to come back from hardships. And in terms of, you know, trauma-informed care and just being a, you know, a supportive community member, a family member, you know, we're all built to stand a certain amount of stress, and we can all come back from a certain amount of stress. But when we're in tough circumstances, you already have extra stress on you from that, and you don't have the support networks to help you deal with it. And so building resilience, especially in a small community like this, a lot of the time it just means finding ways to support people, especially in ways that they're not already supported. Because when you have people to turn to help you get through situations or to express the emotions that you have because of the trauma you've gone through, or to receive treatments or to prevent yourself from going through trauma, you know, you can be more resilient.
Absolutely. All right. The time is 1:07. We have our guest Malia in the studio today, and we're talking about trauma-informed care and resilience. So call in. That number is 874-2345. Malia would love to answer any of your questions. And you can also just say hi, because, like, she's back in town. So we'll be back shortly. Again, that number is 874-2345. All right, we are back. The time is 1:09, and we have a call on the line. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, please introduce yourself and ask your question.
This is Vivian Prescott, and I'm asking my niece, great niece Malia, do you see any positive changes recently in Wrangell in regards to resilience?
Yeah, so I have seen a lot of positive changes in Wrangell recently. I mean, of course, there's the Brave work, which, since I'm so entangled in it, I really know the difference we're making. But also just the schools have done a lot in terms of resilience and preventing, you know, family problems and domestic violence. I've seen teachers who are, you know, teaching themselves how to spot, you know, abuse and neglect, and how to support students who are in harsh situations, whether that be because of, you know, abuse or neglect, or just because of, you know, parents going through rough times or losing a parent or things like that. I've seen people sticking up for getting more, you know, Office of Children's Services here. I've seen people really becoming aware of just how common trauma is in this town and trying to do little things in their everyday lives to make it better for people, which I think is what gives me a lot of hope for this town.
Well, thank you. You're very encouraging, and it's encouraging to know that these things are going to become available for people in Wrangell. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for that call. So, like you said, people are just becoming more aware of this, and that's really cool. And you mentioned people are doing little things to be trauma informed. Tell me, like, you know, I think if you work in social services, you're becoming aware of this concept and you're using these best practices. how should like the general public be trauma informed? What are the little things that we can do?
Yeah, so there's a lot of little tiny things you can do just to make lives easier on people who've gone through trauma. One thing is, you know, a lot of people who've gone through trauma have different ways of socializing and different ways of reacting to people's touch, you know, like for people who never really had good touching, you know, hugs or suddenly tapping someone on the back, things like that can kind of set them off a little bit, you know, especially if you've never had a good touch and you're not expecting it, just like someone, you know, patting someone on the back or pushing them, you know, kind of getting them out of the way can startle you. And so one very simple thing is just make sure that if you're going to touch someone, let them know first. And if you're going to hug someone, find a way to ask them. You can, you know, be so casual, say, can I get a hug? At least then they know that it's there and they know that they can choose yes or no. And just, you know, basic things like that. Another important thing is just the act of not leaving, you know, and making sure that people know you're not leaving, especially for people who've gone through a lot of trauma, you know, especially for kids. If you have parents who leave or family members who leave, you don't actually realize that it's normal for people to stay. And so you might not make the assumption that people who care about you are going to be staying in your life. And so just making it very clear to the people you care about that you are going to be staying can make a big difference. Yeah, I guess those are like the most immediate things you can do.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah, I have to remember these now. okay, and so let's see. So you are, you're here, you're working with Brave, and you're going to be doing a resilience fair. Tell me a little bit about that.
The resilience fair. This resilience fair is my baby. I've been working so hard on this thing. So the resilience fair is going to be on October 9th, so this next Tuesday, from 6:30 to 8:30 in the Nolan Center. And the purpose of it, like I said, one way to support families is to make sure they have all the services that they could need. And there's a lot of services in Wrangell that people don't really realize are there for them. I've discovered this on a very personal basis. You know, I swear half the time I found out something exists here, I'm like, whoa, wait, this has been here the whole time? But yeah, so the purpose of the fair is to make sure people realize that they do have all these support options and they do have all these different ways to build resilience or to participate in the community or to get help when they really need it. And we want to introduce people to the services we already have. And so we have over 15 organizations that have confirmed that they're going to have representation at the fair. We're waiting for a decision from like 15 more. And it's just going to be this big get-together where all these organizations show off exactly what services they have.
Absolutely. And go ahead and name some of those organizations and services.
Yeah, I'm just going to go down my list because we've got quite the list going. We have Community Roots, Tlingit and Haida Family Services, Middle Ground Alternative Dispute Resolutions, Alcoholic Anonymous, Hannah's Place, Parks and Rec, Forest Service, Public Health, Search Health Education, Search Grief Education, Search Medical Legal Services, Search Behavioral Health Domestic Violence Prevention Initiative, AICS Crossings, UAS Senior Center, Girl Scouts, AAU Basketball, Baha'i Faith, and Maryland Marks Daycare. And then we're waiting for responses from everything from more search organizations to the faith communities in town to more daycares, Wrangell schools, all kinds of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, and so what I'm hearing is these are all like very different organizations. Some are mental health oriented. Some are, you said, legal services oriented. You said daycares. Yeah, go ahead and maybe kind of explain that. You know, I think mental health is like an obvious resource for people struggling with trauma. But, you know, why is sports important, or why is, you know, daycares important? Why are legal services important?
Yeah, so we have invited pretty much every organization that provides any kind of family service. And we've done this because, you know, building a resilient family isn't as simple as just getting help when you need it. it's just, you know, you have to actually put in a lot of thought and have a lot of support. And, you know, it takes a village, that's the saying. And so things like sports, kids being in sports, having a community of peers that they can turn to, having coaches that they feel comfortable with, finding a way to be active, that's its own type of resiliency, you know. Faith organizations, having an entire group of people who believe in things similar to you, who you can go to and feel comfortable with and be yourself around, that's another type of resiliency. And also organizations that do offer help for people who might need it, who are in circumstances of poverty or domestic violence or anything like that. You know, knowing that you have resources for when you run out of diapers and it's a Sunday and the stores are closed, or when you desperately need childcare or else you're gonna go insane. That's building resiliency. Just anything that keeps your family healthy and makes it so that you can deal with life and what it throws at you is resiliency.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And then we can go to a break here in a little bit, but let's talk about, you know, I think a lot of these resources are, oh, we have a phone call. Okay, great. Let's go to a phone call right now. So, hello, you are on the air. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Sabrina Smith calling.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi. I just wanted to call and I was listening, luckily, and yeah, Malia, I just want to personally say thank you. I think it's really awesome that you're doing this and putting yourself out there to provide resources or to show availability of resources. I've struggled with trauma and mental health for a long time and did not know my resources. And so I think this is really amazing, and I appreciate it, and I'm really happy to keep you healthy today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy we can do something that you think is helpful.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
Sabrina, thanks for the call. Okay, so the time is 1:18. We'll go to a short break. And remember, you can call in just like Sabrina did. That number is 874-2345. Hello, you are listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:20. We have our guest, Malia Wenzel, in the studio today, and we're talking about trauma-informed care in our community. So we know that we're having the Resilience Fair coming up, thanks to Malia, and we've talked a lot about the services that are going to be there, services that are in our community right now. And I wanted to ask you, you know, with Alaska being in a budget crunch, there are threats to social services funding. So how can our community fill in the gaps for, you know, our kind of more public official safety net?
Yeah, so I think you kind of hit it right on the head with the word community. You know, our town has dealt with budget cuts and different things that mess up our services before, and we've always managed to come together in it. And I think there's a lot of things we can do as individuals within a community to help the services that already exist. So one big example is just volunteering, you know, volunteering at Head Start or at the schools, volunteering with the public food programs or even at your churches, anything to help substitute the labor that our organizations are losing through budget cuts really helps. Also organizing, you know, Brave is completely, we don't receive any state funding. We are entirely volunteers and we don't have the capacity to do fundraising yet, but even without that capacity, we have managed to do a lot. And that's, you know, that's not something that's impossible to do in a town where so many people care so much. Another thing is just think about the types of services that are already offered by the state and how you can help those services. And so what comes to mind for me is Office of Children's Services. They're already, you know, pretty underfunded. and we do not have an Office of Children representative here. They're over in Petersburg, and they only visit when they know that it's needed here. But how do they know it's needed here? You know, how are they supposed to know it's needed here without anybody telling them? And so doing things like learning how to spot child abuse or neglect and how to make an anonymous report, and so they know that they need to come over here and offer some kind of support for a family. Things like that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned reporting. I really can't speak to Alaska, and I'm wondering if you can. You know, are we, even as citizens, not as social workers, are we mandated reporters when it comes to child abuse?
If you're talking legally, the people who are mandated reporters are people who work within medical institutions or within schools, or most of the time with children. So I know that, you know, police officers, nurses, dentists, doctors, they're mandated. School staff of any kind, along with coaches, are mandated reporters. I believe daycare workers are mandated reporters. But in terms of, you know, being involved in a community, I think it is everybody's responsibility. You know, it takes a village. And if you are not willing to, you know, report someone, you know, because you're afraid you're wrong, or because they're your cousin, because everybody's your cousin, then you're really not, you're not supporting the village. And you have to realize that when you report, it's not a betrayal. It's just showing that you care. It's just showing that you care about the child and that you care about the family getting help so they can be the parents that the children deserve.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you mentioned that volunteering, organizing, and, you know, being trauma-informed, being aware of what to spot and, you know, when to report, or, you know, just kind of getting your knowledge in line with this concept. You know, what do you feel like, wow, if Wrangell had this one thing, it would be awesome? Or, you know, Wrangell has a really rich community of volunteers, but, you know, this is the one thing that maybe we could be doing better at.
I mean, you know, it is kind of rough that Wrangell doesn't have, like, a safe house system, or, you know, what do you call it, a shelter. But that's, I think that's something that a lot of people are working toward right now. You know, I think other than that, something that might seem not so oriented toward family resilience, but really is something for kids to do that isn't worship-based. Because, you know, we have plenty of worship communities, and we do have them offering a lot of youth activities, which, you know, thank God we do, because a lot of kids here would go crazy if they didn't. But kids who aren't interested in that, we have Alaska Sprouts now, which is an amazing organization. But, you know, there isn't really much outside of that. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I spent every Saturday at Jerry's for about 4 years. So that's as exciting as it gets.
And, at Jerry's?
Yeah. Well, it's Michelle's Taste of Asia now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But, yeah, it can be pretty hard to stay mentally healthy and to avoid activities like drugs or alcohol, or even, you know, speeding up and down the highway all night long when there's not really much else to keep you sane.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for our youth, like, that's a critical time to engage them and make sure they have all the opportunities they need and just time to, you know, to cope, to deal with they do what they need to do. Okay. So we can wrap up our conversation shortly, but, you know, tell me, Malia, you know, why is this cause important to you? And, you know, why are you the one to fight it? Why are you spending, you know, not just your time here in Wrangell doing this, but you're going to school for this? You know, and I read your story in the Sentinel, and you said, you know, I just can't not do this. You know, why do you feel that way?
I mean, I think a good portion of the town already knows about this from my previous work, but, you know, I went through a lot of trauma growing up. I had a very abusive father and a mom who was neglectful and also addicted to many things. So, you know, I've had the hands-on experience with trauma and just knowing, and, you know, also being, when you're a kid who's going through trauma, you realize that the other kids are too. You talk to each other about it, and so you learn just how many people are going through things, you know, as bad as you are. And once you grow up, you realize, like, whoa, that's crazy that that's, like, the way it is. And so, you know, I was passionate about that during high school, and then I went to college, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be a pediatrician, and that lasted for, like, 2 days of pre-orientation. And I just kept, you know, trying to find something that I loved, something that I cared about and was passionate about and I liked learning about and all these things. And I just kept going back to studying, you know, trauma, systems of trauma, childhood trauma, the psychology of trauma. Like, that was the only thing that just pulled me in and hooked me and kept me curious and passionate. And yeah, that's just, I've been on it ever since. And, like, this is, you know, I can't not do it, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, dealing with trauma, you know, it can break your resilience. It can, you know, it can even affect how you behave. And you even said, you know, it can affect how your brain works. But you're, you know, clearly an example that, you know, you can, I don't want to say get past your trauma, but that you can be sort of this exemplary citizen, you know, while you're living your life, you're able to go to school, you're able to get a degree, you're able to get a job. Tell me, you know, how in our minds we should be juggling this idea of trauma hurts people, but that people are not just their trauma. People can get past that. People can still be healthy people.
Yeah, I think especially with what I study, one thing that kind of keeps me from, you know, just being sad all the time, because it's not like studying childhood trauma is an easy thing, is realizing that especially children are some of the most resilient things on the planet, both physically and mentally, as I'm sure we've seen from, like, the million bike wrecks children get in and then just keep biking anyway. They can go through so much, and if they're just given the right support and the right love, come out okay on the other side. And, like, that, you know, it's insane how much kids can go through and still be okay. And so just keeping that in mind, that, you know, just because a kid goes through a lot doesn't mean it's, like, the end of the line there. You have to provide them the support, and if you do that, they can become successful, happy people. And then, getting a little emotional here. And then, yeah, I think it is pretty hard to have a balance in your mind of, like, you know, trauma does affect the way people think and the way they are, but it's not necessarily all that they are. And so I think we have to realize that, you know, when you think of someone's personality, it's not just one thing. It's a lot of things put together. And just realize that the trauma is part of it, but not all of it. And, you know, realize that as people heal and as they grow and as they find support services, they may change in, you know, their personality and how they interact with people and just how they are as a person. And, you know, sometimes you can think back and realize, like, oh, you know, that's the process of healing.
That's the process of healing. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I've really enjoyed our conversation today. So before we sign off, remind us again about the Resilience Fair.
Yeah, so Family Resilience Fair, Nolan Center, October 9th from 6:30 to 8:30. There's going to be all these organizations with pretty much every service you could possibly think of. There's going to be food, games. Most of the organizations are bringing games or activities as well. And then we have door prizes donated from a lot of Wrangell businesses. So we offer $275 in gift cards, around $250 in, like, products and prizes, things like that. And they're all just walk in, put a ticket in, and you have a chance to win them. So pretty exciting.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you for coming into the studio today. And thank you for coming back to Wrangell and doing the thing you're doing.
Thanks. It's, you know, I love it.
Awesome. Okay, you've been listening to Talk on the Rock. The time is 1:32. Malia has been in the studio talking about resilience and trauma-informed care. We will be back next Tuesday with another guest. See you later.